Okay, last we learned in Klai and Gimel was Tezvav. Is Tezvav says that when you tovel a keli, you have to immerse the entire keli in the water. It can't be half and half. Unlike Hagala, which could be half and half. So here, I'm going to give it to my Yetzirah. And I'll tell you a Reb Ruvain. If you want to know a nice yeshivish shtickle Torah, Reb Ruvain Grzovsky has a shtickle Torah on Ein Tefila L'Chatzayim. He clears a shayla. Why is it that you can't tovel a keli one half and then the other half? Is it because the taich of Tefila is something that has to be totally immersed? And toveling half, that just misses in the Shem Tefila. Or, well, I mean, you have to, the second side, you also say it's plus Shem. The second side is, because things don't become tar half at a time. It's not because it's not a Tefila, it's because nothing becomes tar unless you tovel the whole thing. The only way it can become tar is everything at once.
Can be half tar.
There's no such thing as a half tar keli or half tar person. That's why. Because Hagol is a physical fact. You're taking out blias. It's not doing it. It says nafkamina is if you can figure out a way to tovel a keli, the entire keli, half in one mikvah and half in the other mikvah at the same time. So the whole thing is becoming tar, but only each one is only half a tefillah. Follow? No?
Do we have to make a bracha on that? Or just the fact
get bracha, the question is if it's tar.
How do you do something? How do you put a piece of glass in the water and it does its only half? It's not possible.
Can you tevel a person in two mikvahs at the same time, half and half and one half the other? Is it physically possible?
A person, yes.
Yeah.
He goes in halfway and he walks out.
No, but he want to be tevel the whole body, half for one mikvah, half for another mikvah. Is it possible?
Yes.
How? At the same time, he's half for one mikvah, half for another. I'm saying at the same time to be half for one, half for the other. So it is possible, halachically. If you have two mikvahs, a wall between them and a hole, a person goes into one mikvah, sticks his finger into the hole, his fingertip is in the other mikvah, and then he lowers his head into the mikvah. So he's got his fingertip in one mikvah, the rest of his body in another mikvah. Not if he fills it with his finger.
He stops it, you mean?
A shuk has to be two finger words, no? So he's got one.
One finger.
Anyway, I'll tell you, the reason Reb Ruvain clears this is because there's a gra, a very controversial gra. The gra is right in the Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Hilchos Mikvayos. The halacha is that there are two types of tevelin. You can tevel in a mikvah, or you can tevel in a mayon. A mayon is a spring, something that gives natural water, or a stream. The difference is that when you have a mikvah, you can only tovel in a mikvah if the mikvah is standing still. If it's running, zeichlin, then it's a problem. Then it's a problem. That's the issue with a filter. When a filter is running, whether it's good. We had an issue in the summer where after Shabbos, we got phone calls that in a certain mikvah, they had left the filter running Friday night when the ladies tovel. It's a big shaila if it's a good tefillah if the water is running. So running water doesn't work for a mikveh, but for a stream it does. If you want to tovel your keli in a running water of stream, running water is kosher by a spring or a stream. There where it runs naturally, it's okay. But not a mikveh. If you have a mikveh with a hole in it, the water is leaking out, it's possible.
We have a stream in our bungalow colony, but it's controlled. It's not running water up upstream.
The dam.
They open it or close it based on, we were told we can't use it for that.
It's not a real stream yet. That's called Mayim HaKhoizmin. It's called water, that's a lie. It's a Mayim HaKhoizmin. It's a lying stream. It's not real. It's
an ocean.
You could travel in an ocean.
You may.
Yeah, certainly.
But it's running water.
Oh, so anyway, if it's naturally running, it's good. And
it's always naturally running, except they could have stopped.
No. If something's naturally running, you can't really stop. If something has a constant flow, eventually you fill up the dam and then you have water going through. You can dam up water only if you divert it, not if you can't dam up a stream permanently. Water keeps on coming, eventually it's going to overflow. You can divert the water. Anyway, there's a second din that a mayan is mitar b'kol shehu. A mayan, you don't need a, you can type it in less than 40 sa'. And a mikvah needs 40 sa'. Needs 200 gallons. So the Gra says the two coolers of a mayan that a kol shehu is good, and running water is good. It's really one cooler. Running water is possible because it's not considered connected. In a mayan, it doesn't have to be connected. A mashu is good. In a mikveh, it has to be connected. You need 40 sa. It's all one. Follow? Very complicated. So Reuven says, it's a raya from here, that you could tevel in two mikveh simultaneously. Because the Gra says running water is considered not connected. It's like a bunch of separate mikvahs. And you could tevel in running water if it's naturally running. So it's a raya that you could tevel in separate mikvahs. The psul is not, your tefillah has to be complete, but that the person has to become tar totally in one case. That's Rabbi Reuven's raya. I speak on yeshiva, the boys argue with me, they get all excited, I don't know. It's late at night, it's not 9 o'clock at night. Okay. Anyway, it's in the Chiddush of Reuven. Okay, let's, stream. A real stream, yeah.
A real stream.
Yeah. No, you can't tevel half and half. You can tevel completely, even though in lumdis it's like half and half. It's constantly moving, right. But you have to tevel the whole thing. The whole thing has to be surrounded with water. That's what Reuven's raya is. His raya is that hefts are good. His raya from there is that hefts are good.
Okay.
Yeah, Mayim Chaim is a Mayim. The Chinami.
You can't have part of the body being tahar.
Right, you can't have part of a body tahar and part of a body tame, that's certainly so.
So because the tumor travels from one part of the body to the other. So why can't we say the same thing by tahara, that if you tahar one part of the body, the tahara travels.
So I'll tell you a klal, the Navi Chagai says. Bad behavior spreads. Good behavior doesn't spread. You gotta make it happen. You know, that's what he says. He says that, you want to give a musa shmuz, so yes, the mishayla. If you make something tame and it touches something else, what happens? It becomes tame. If you make something hegdish and it touches something else, it becomes hegdish? No. He said, kedusha, you gotta make happen. For things to go downhill, it happens. It's entropy. You know what entropy is, right? Entropy is the natural tendency of things to fall into an increasing state of disruption, of chaos. Naturally, nothing happens. Good things only happen if you put effort into it. So, that's not sad, like, what? Yeah? Chagai, right, right. You have a good memory.
Right? Yeah. If there's a conflict, it'll be certainly, but if it goes by itself, that doesn't happen.
You take a plant and you let it stand by itself, it dies. If you want a plant, Nebuch, my mother loved plants, Allah Shalom. My wife and I couldn't care less. She used to buy us plants all the time. Nebuch, they all died. Because if you don't water them, they die. So once my wife got a great idea. Let's just put her on the front stoop. And it'll rain on it, so it'll stay alive till next time my mother comes, you know. So it's good, but we had a bunch of little boys, and eventually somebody cracked it, and it was all over the place, and I don't know, we're not masugal for plants. I don't know. Just tell my mother, buy us chocolate, why are you buying us plants? You know, like. Okay, what?
Pistachio.
Anyway, that's some of the lumdis of Ein Tefillah Chatzam. Let's go to Tes Zayin. More practical halacha. The water has to be inside and out. That's why you can't take a cup or a pot and tumble it upside down. Because then the air inside is trapped and it doesn't fill up with water. If you have a knife, you can't stick it into a clay pot, stick tumble it that way because the blade is stuck into something. You can't hold the keli tightly when you tevel it. Because then when your fingers are touching it, the water doesn't get in. Ela imkei merapi yadav mimenu teich ha-mikvah. Unless you loosen your fingers in the mikvah. Or you could hold it tight, put it in the mikveh, and then you switch it to the other hand underwater, so therefore the water gets everywhere. What do you got to do that? Again, hold that in one hand in the mikveh, and you pick it up with the other hand. Not sure why the whole pshatl here. You have the same girsa that I read? Okay. You don't let go of the first one until you hold it with the second. So the water gets in before your hand. You hold it as loosely as possible. V'chein asakin, if you have to tevel a knife, yikshur b'chut, ukai gavna b'dafa rapu, you're afraid to let go of it in the water, you're afraid you'll drop it, so you have to hold, you could tie it with a string, and do it that way. V'mlichlich yadei t'chila b'mei mikveh in lochash. If you wet your hands first, then you could grab it and be teveling. Okay, we do a lot of them places have baskets. You put in a basket, and you travel it into the basket. The basket itself has to be open to the mamek for kishefefer sanoid. If you have these baskets with slits, and you lower it not all the way down, you have to be careful. The slit has to be wide enough for two fingers to be inserted and turned. That's the shear, because kishefefer sanoid, the shear of a hole to connect a basket to a mikveh. So that's the way we do it. Now, the question is about piling up kelim and tevaling them. Well, you have the same issue. One keli, you take a pile of plates and you want to tevel it. So one keli is heavy on the other one. It prevents the water from going in. So let's see Yud Zayin. Muta litva lahatva kli teich keli. You're allowed to tevel one keli in another. I fill him yemalenu kaidim b'mayim shuvim. Even if you fill it up with non mikvah water, the kishachayze v'shekeh b'be'er. When you lower it, b'mayim shuv b'be'er tsofen up they kli achitzain, and you lower it deep enough that the water goes over the top. Yischabru b'mayim shuv b'be'er im b'mayim shuv b'kli mitaher. So they connect.
The water to
getting
to certain
points? So he's so far not saying that. He's really saying is that you put beforehand sink water between them. But when you lower it into the mikveh, that sink water gets attached to the mikveh water. Once you have a kosher mikveh, even if you put in mayim shuvim, it's all good. Once you have the share of a mikveh, you can put in as much other water as you desire. And then I think that's what he's saying. Flashin in Yiddish, a pitcher. I bottle kiss bottles. Tzarech lemalum tchila b'mayim shuvim. You fill it up with water. You dip it under the water in the mikvah. Ah, shir shabavade nismalo kelim b'fnim mayim until it fills up. Avol yosetayv lemalum b'mayim af shuvim. It's best to fill it up before you stick it in. V'yanichem b'sal gadol ibedli and put it into another keli machdisa l'mikvah. There's an isarav hamei mikvah v'mayim elu havetfila. Right, there's a rule as follows. It's a migul. The halacha is that for the mikvah to be metayer, a keli, the opening has to be enough to stick two fingers in. Now, what happens if you have a keli that just doesn't have that much of an opening? You want to table a salt shaker. So how does that work? So one opinion is that you can table it if you're being mitaret. What he's bringing here is to fill up with mayim shuvim and then put it in the mikveh. And migu da also light tefila l'mayim, also light tefila l'kli. Since the mayim, which is tameh, if someone handled it, is tar in the mikveh, the only thing that you can be mitaret in a mikveh that's edible is water. An apple is tameh, it doesn't help putting it in a mikveh. Only people, kalim, or water. So migad oslait fila is oslait fila. That's how it works. umachnisa lemikva vaideze nisarav me mikva b'mayim elu vavetvila. Umay acher shemilam a keli b'mayim ven kvedim. If you fill up a keli with water, it's heavy. Yizar shalo yeshev a kelim al shulehem. Make sure you don't put them on the bottom, lamata. If you lie it sideways, the weight is spread out. If you have it filled, you should put it in a way that it rolls around, and then the water gets under the keli. If you're traveling an empty keli, upiem rochov kiteller, like a plate. But the lanichem al shuleim upiem, the bavada yavayu mayim gamitachas. Under a plate, the water will come. It's not so heavy. Rock yizar shleiniach kelim zalgavze. You shouldn't put many plates one on the other. Kdeisha yachbidu shouldn't be too heavy. Lanichem ze itzel ze. Put them one next to the other. Vavshe v'mikva yiplu ze algavze in lochush. That's what you're supposed to do. If you want to table a pile of dishes, let's say you have glass dishes, to pile them all together, you can't do. You take a basket, you put in one pan, you just put in one plate on top of the other in the water. You put one on top of the other, and that way each one lands and there's water there before it lands. The Gemara talks about tabling a bed. You ever tabled a bed? The time Tumah applied, you tabled your bed. You took the mattress off before. But you tabled the bed frame. So the Gemara says, the bed is pretty high. You gotta get the whole headboard in. And the stream is not so deep. So the Gemara says, you just push it down. The feet go into the mud. The Gemara says, feet go in the mud, so there's no water there. No, it says the water's there first. When you stick it into a stream, when the feet hit the mud, the water is there before the feet. So no matter how much you push it down, there's water between the mud and the foot of the bed. So you do it till the top gets in. No matter how deep you go, there's water first.
No, but before it goes into the mud.
No,
what you said.
What are you talking about?
The whole headboard has to be in water.
The whole headboard has got to be in water.
Any part of it.
Yeah, but there's no problem in the mud. Let's say I have here a bucket of mud. I take my finger, I stick it all the way in. Wherever my finger goes, there's water. So that means that the water is surrounding the whole bed, since I pushed the whole bed in with the whole headboard.
But not the bottom
so,
part.
Why?
Because it's between the bottom part of the mud and the bottom part.
But there's gonna be water there.
No.
Why? The water was there before I put the bed there.
Once you put the bottom of the bed on the mud, and the bottom of the mud is far down as it's gonna go, it creates
there's always gonna be water there. There's always water first. You can't have zero water. It's gotta be some water, I think. What? I'm telling you the whole thing. I'm pushing the bed down till the whole thing is in the water. The whole bed is in the water. The part in the mud is also in the water. Because there's water there before the leg of the bed. No, the whole thing is in water.
Yeah,
but
the whole bed is in the water.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
What's wrong?
The problem.
You will try it. You want to bring your bed?
No. There's water there, but it has to be in water.
At the same time.
At the same time.
But being in mud is in water, since the water was there before the mud.
If you're in mud before the headboard comes completely under, you've displaced the water.
What we're saying is that you don't totally displace water. You can't, water, no matter how thin it gets, it's still water.
So then the same should be with the dishes when you pile them one on top.
Same thing is, unless you pile them before you put them in. But if you're gonna, that's why if you throw one dish on another, we always consider it that there's always water between them. Mayim magdimin. As long as the water is there first, it's fine. It's fine. The layer of water, it's interesting, Din. Let's say you wash your hands for Hamaitzi, and you realize you missed your thumb. So you have to wipe your hands and start again. You missed your thumb, let's say. So what it says in Shulchan Aruch is if you realize you quickly wash again while there's a layer of water on your hand, it's good. As long as the water, what we call tefeach v'naslatfeach, it has to be wet enough to touch it and make other things wet. But as long as there's still a layer of water, it's good. Now, if your hand is out of the water, of course, it's going to drip off. Eventually, you'll have nothing. But if it's in the water, then you'll have it. Then you'll have it. And by the way, if you're traveling, you want to eat bread, and you don't have a cup to wash with, you could stick it in a stream. Tevling is just as good as Netilas Yadayim. It's even though you're not washing with a cup.
Yeah,
just sticking your hands in. You make a bracha netila. The Ramah says tefila, but Mechaber says netila, and Mishum Ramah says Mechaber. What?
It's all about if you don't have a cup, you could put your water in there.
In a stream of water. A stream of water, because the stream is...
There's some question with the faucet that is coming from... The
yeah, it's very interesting. The faucets in four boroughs, not in Queens and not in the higher parts of Manhattan, but our water that we have that comes out of this faucet, what's pushing the water out? There's no pump in this building. No pump is pushing it out. The reservoir, the water pressure from the reservoir, there's a continuous flow from the reservoir till my sink. And by the laws of nature, if the reservoir is this high and it runs down, and then it comes up again, even goes up to the third floor of the building. If you open the faucet, the water pressure is higher, it's going to push the water up. As long as it doesn't go as high as the reservoir, it's going to push it up and into your sink. So there's a continuous flow. That's why in this area, the area is zoned for six-story buildings. Because in this area, when you get to a seventh story, you're not certainly going to have water pressure. You have to, the taller buildings, some areas you do get a seventh story. The taller, you ever saw a water tower on top of a building? You see? And, why do they have a water tower? Why don't you have a water tower for? We don't have a water tower here. The very tall buildings, there's not enough water pressure. The water pressure just is taller than the source of the water. So you need a pump. Now, if you're going to have a 10-story building with a pump, the pump's going to work 24 hours a day. The pump is going to burn out very quickly. So the way they do it is there's a water tower on the roof, and the pump is activated. It fills up the water tower. It goes off. The water tower provides water for the homes. When the water tower goes below a certain level, the pump goes on again and fills up the water tower. Water tower's on the roof, so it gives pressure. So if there's an electric blackout, you still got water, because it's the water pressure. So there's Rav Telushkin, a big Talmid Chacham. Rav Telushkin was Lubavitch Chassid, a big Talmid Chacham. He was still in Russia under the Tsars, under the communists, and he made mikvahs there. He got out in the about 1950 or so. And he was a big expert. When you have to build a mikvah under the nose of the communists, you know, you figure out all the tricks. So he wrote a handbook called Taras Mayim. And, back in the 60s and the 70s, someone went to check a mikvah. That's what he took with him. Okay, so you have to look up a shayla. So he figured if a guy stuck without a hand without cups with which to wash, he had this great Ein file. He says, if you're in Brooklyn or the Bronx, or Staten Island, or small part of Queens, or lower Manhattan. Higher Manhattan doesn't work. We get our water from reservoirs. Listen to his Ein Fall. He said, fill up the sink with water, and the water should still be running. Don't shut off the faucet. Right now, there's a continuous flow from the reservoir to the water in your sink. That's called nitzok, a flow. Flowing water is good enough for Netilas Sinayim, for Darabanan. So tovel your hands in your water, in your sink. It's like you toveled in the reservoir, and you can make a bracha on Netilas Sinayim, and you yaitza. Yeah, great. Great. So in Queens it doesn't work. Queens have aquifers. They don't get reservoir water. So, I assume because if you yaitza tefillah, you have to have the whole hand at the same time. Ain't tefillah l'chatzayim. Netilas, you can wash as you wash your hand. I assume that's why. He wants it to be totally covered with water at the same time. So anyway, that's his Ein Fall.